name is Ephraim, and I'm an addict. And as always, I like to thank the convention committee for asking me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope. And I would like to thank you guys for helping me get another day clean. You know, the last time I was here was a couple of years ago, and I was here with a really dear friend of mine, a guy named Dale. And we would travel. We did a lot of this together, and we were here, and we left, and he died like less than a month later, you know. And I was really having a hard time coming here to share because of that, you know. And I thought about what a perfect topic for the circumstances and the whole healing process. And there's so many people here, there's so many faces that I know that are familiar, and I appreciate you guys. You know, I appreciate this process, and I love the meeting. The main speaker talked about relationships, and I think one of the relationships we don't talk enough about in this process is our relationship with God. And what that really means and the significance of that relationship, and how that relationship brings healing and wholeness, and how we come to fruition of that relationship. Because I know when I first got here, there was a lot of taboos, and one of the taboos was a dogmatic expression that's talked about in the third step. And you hear so much about that dogmatic expectations or expressions of misunderstanding God in the relationships that we have with God, that it almost make you want to not have a relationship with God. And that it appears that for some of us, we have to be here for so long and go through some really dark times and before we start to really seek and get out of our own way. And I was one of those persons. And the ironic thing that I found was that just when I thought I had a relationship with God, I realized that my relationship wasn't with God. My relationship was really with me trying to control my life. And I kept getting in my way. And it's very easy to practice principles when you don't have to. And I really believe that wholeheartedly. When life is good, when, you know, the external things are manifesting themselves because of our hard work. You know, because it's not really hard to, once you put the drugs down, to really start to see external things happen. Houses and cars and relationships take place. But how much growth really happens? And see, what happened for me was I was in this process, and one of the things that took place for me is like I was doing a lot of this really early on. And I did a lot of writing and a lot of what we do, at least what some of us do, and in this process. And I thought I had worked steps. I actually thought I had arrived, because the external was great, but the internal was still the little boy. And the little boy hadn't quite grown to the maturity of the man, the external. And so what was happening in my life was that I was coming to places like this, and I was talking about how wonderful life was because I had done all this writing and I was doing this service thing and I had a sponsor and you know, I was like kind of on his coattail, and he would say things to me that I kind of missed. You know, I would come to him about this balance and get a balance, and he would just say to me, take care of the things in front of you. And I didn't quite grasp what he was talking about, because it was too simple, because I was looking for something much more complicated, and he just kept it really simple. And what happened at 5 years clean, I wanted to kill myself, because I couldn't stop hurting the people I loved the most, which was my children. And I wasn't physically damaging them, but I was doing the same exact thing to them that was done to me by my mom. And so I thought that if I didn't physically discipline them, but I screamed and yelled at them, and I couldn't stop myself. And so I would go to diners, and I would go to meetings, and I would talk about how wonderful the steps is, and how wonderful Narcotics Anonymous is, and how wonderful life is. But I would go home, and I would be a complete maniac because my daughter didn't take out the trash. But that wasn't, that stuff I couldn't talk about, because I was afraid that if I let you guys in and I really showed you me, that you would think that I was not the person I said I was. And the ironic thing that I didn't know was you already knew who I was. Because when I raise my hand and I say I'm an addict, that means that I'm imperfect. That means I need help each time I come here. And that there isn't anything that in our imperfection, that's what makes us perfect as people. And so what I started to understand was is that this fixing of self is what I was trying to do continuously. You know, I said I was powerless, but I didn't believe I was powerless. I said I wanted help, but I didn't let help help me. You know, I said I wanted my life to be different, but I really wanted to remain the same. I just wanted to put the drugs down because that's what caused the most pain. And so what happened was is that I started to understand what it really meant when it said in the steps is that drugs is only a symptom of the disease. So if drugs beat me to my knees, imagine what the disease of addiction was doing internally. Because like the gentleman said, you can't see it, but you can see the manifestation of it in our actions. And so when I started to realize that in the sixth step where it says that we become entirely ready to have God do something, I started to understand what the third step was talking about when it was talking about turning my will and my life over. Because it was preparing me to do something that I didn't even know what I was doing because I didn't know what my life and my will was. Because I had to start to look at not so much what had happened and the harm that had happened, but I had to look at the exact nature. And the exact nature was, why was I, who am I and why am I this person? And what do I do not to be this person that I don't want to be anymore? And that's what I started to understand what the 11th step was truly talking about when it says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will and the power to carry it out. See, I had been living in my will all along, and I didn't realize that what I was really supposed to be doing was, once I understood what my life and will was, I was supposed to be turning it over to God. But I wasn't doing that. I was still trying to control my life. And so once again, I hit rock bottom in recovery. And I think the longer you stay here, the more you have to do to stay here. And I'm not talking about making lots of meetings and sponsoring lots of people. I'm talking about allowing the help to help you, because you have to start to learn how to get out of your own way. And see, the beauty of it is that each phase of my recovery, God put people in my life, and I realized that God works through people. Yeah. See, I had 3 years clean, and I was in Atlantic City, and I was getting beat up terribly by the people there because I wanted them to do things because I didn't know how to surrender. I wanted them at a place where I thought they should be. And each time I tried to get them there, they showed me that, no, I don't want to, we don't want to do this. But I was trying to, you know, I wasn't practiced being powerless because I thought I had power, because I thought because I had information that made me have power. And the thing that I didn't realize was is that when you try to force anything, you know, it always brings pain. You know, I was at a place not long ago, and it says, what God brings to you, you do not have to chase. It's meant for you. You don't have to chase it. You know, and so I started to understand some things, but there's a man in this room that when I had 3 years clean, he didn't even realize is that I met him at a retreat. And we became close. And he started to invite me to where he was at. It wasn't far from where I was at, but it was in Berlin. And he said, come and hang out with us. And I started to go hang out with him, and I found relief because I needed to be out of that environment. Because my sponsor, I used to go to meetings, and I would raise my hand, and every time I shared, somebody would share behind me, and they would like, and I would tell my sponsor, I don't understand. And he would say something really simple, why don't you go to other meetings? And I would say, why would I want to do that? I help start these meetings. These are my meetings. He said, they're not yours. They never were yours. See, I had to learn how to let go. You know, I had to learn how to surrender on a deeper level. And so when I started to understand like what this process was talking about, when it's talking about sorting through, I mean looking through the wreckage of all the mess that I've caused. But the thing is, I learned how to do it peacefully. Because I found that prayer and meditation is a very peaceful process to take a look at self. And it's amazing that the things that are like becoming conscious of me today, it's like when you start to grow in this process, like the light comes on and you start to hear things, like you hear voices and they're not your voices anymore. You know, the forces of the universe are talking to you in ways that's amazing. Like I was on my way here and I was thinking about something, and like you hear this, you know, I don't know where you guys come from, but I always heard people say, you know, like it says, you know, I was somewhere else and heard someone say, you know, the mature person moved first. And I've been in a lot of places where I've been so stubborn that even when I was right, I was wrong. Because I was trying to force my rightness on somebody else who wasn't willing to accept it. So sometimes all you can do is allow the seed to be planted. You don't have to water it. You don't have to do anything. Just plant the seed and get out of the way. It's going to be okay. And I had to start to learn that stuff. It's amazing that when you start to learn it, what it really means. Like you know, I heard someone say, you know, if they slap one cheek, give them the other. And I thought they meant physically. They weren't talking about that. All they were simply saying was learn how to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That everybody's not where you want them to be, but they don't have to be. You have to be. See, it's not important that you love me, but it's important that I love you. Because when I don't love you, I'm the one that suffers. And when I don't love you, I don't love me. Because you are me and I am you. We're no different. You know, we all walk in this journey together. And we're not different. You know, even though we might look different, we might act different, but all of us have been in the same places, sometime at the same time and sometime differently. But we all have been there. So, you know, today, man, I look at my life and I realize that a few years ago I was in a really dark place. You know, my sponsor died of 26 years. My friend Dale died. They died a month apart. And I realized, you know, and I was into this self-pity place, a really dark place, but I was just into this really self-pity place. My relationship, my marriage of like 30 years was like, due to my own doing, was dissolved, gone. And the thing that I realized today is that had all of those turn of events not happen, I would not be where I'm at today. I would not be this person standing before you. I would still be the self-righteous, condescending person with the answers and don't even know the questions. So today, man, like I am so grateful for this process. I am so grateful for the growth. I'm so grateful for the people in my life. I'm so blessed for the people that I haven't even met yet. It's amazing what this process is about. It's amazing what it can do to you and do for you. You know, man, I'm humbled. Each day I get to go to a job that I love. It's not work. I love it. But had I started doing it 25 years ago, my arrogance and my condescending and my self-righteousness wouldn't have allowed me to be able to do it. Today I enjoy it. Because I know it's only God's grace. I know that it's, you know, I know that it's part of my assignment. It's part of my assignment. It's a blessing. And it only happens because God works through people like you to help a poor slob like me. This thing is so awesome. If you haven't enjoyed some of the fruits of this, just please keep coming. Don't sell yourself short. There's freedom beyond your wildest dream. Man, this thing is like the purity of the love that we find in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You can't find it nowhere else. The things that we go through and we find ourselves after all of that, like he was talking about, the relapses and the this. And then one day you see somebody walk in, someone who struggled, and you see them walk in and the light in their eyes is so bright that it makes your heart smile. So, man, I just love what we do. I just love the fact that you guys love me so much that you've taught me how to love me. And with that, I'm eternally grateful. Thanks for letting me share.